I always look forward to my trip back home. You know, I've just come back, but I'm already ready to go back. In fact, my tickets in July are already booked. Of course, the reason is it's cheaper if you book earlier, right? What I do not look forward to is what the travel and the jet lag and just the busy schedule at home, sometimes non-structured life at home, does to my spiritual life. That I just detest. It's a huge adjustment issue when I get there and I come back. And unless I make heroic efforts, my spiritual life can just go haywire. And what I hate about it is, as far as I'm concerned, the only constant in my life is God. And what is the only constant thing gets disturbed, it seems like the rest of my life just falls apart. So the challenge for me in all of this is to say, stay centered. In some ways, today's readings, and particularly the gospel reading, help me a little bit to kind of refocus on what I should be really concerned about. And I hope this helps you as well. When I started reading the gospel reading to prepare the homily, it seems like Jesus was kind of exactly where I am during my travels. I call today's gospel reading a day in the life of Jesus. You know, last week we heard how he came to the synagogue and he healed a demoniac. The evil spirits recognized him. And of course, that healing came with a lot of fame for Jesus. Now, Jesus had just called Peter and Andrew and James and John, and then he goes to the synagogue, then he performs this miracle. People are now beginning to talk about him. He finally decides to leave the synagogue and come to Peter's house where someone else to be healed, the mother-in-law. And Jesus heals her. And then I'm presuming that after that he got something to eat. He probably got himself cleaned up. And because he has just called Peter and James and Andrew and John, he began to teach them about why he called them. He began to speak about what this is all about. Scripture tells us by then it is evening. In the evening, the whole town is at the door wanting to be healed. And Jesus takes the time. He heals everybody. Scripture doesn't tell us what time, but he finally got to bed. But the next thing Scripture tells us is he got up very early in the morning and he prayed. Seems like he barely finished that Peter comes with the rest of the crew. God, everybody's looking for you. And Jesus says, I need to go to other places too. And you'll hear this next week when you come. But then he begins this healing all over again, healing particularly a leper by touching him, something that people didn't do those days. So Jesus not only brings him physical healing, but also community healing, social healing. He reconciles the community and this leper by touching him. So in one sense, that's a whole day in the life of Jesus. What a day. Thus far, in our reflection on the Gospels, what we learn about Jesus is that he began the ministry by preaching the kingdom of God. He called disciples to follow him. He led the life of a devout Jew, did good, taught, ate, rested, and prayed intensely. But very soon, his life will begin to change because as fame came to him, opposition also began to build against him. But here's the bottom line, which is important for you and for me. No matter what happens in his life, Jesus somehow stays centered. His focus, his mission, his work, his prayer never change. Never. His life is being turned upside down, but the focus, his prayer, his mission, these things never change. In the 3 years from his baptism to the cross, his life mission remains constant. And that is my challenge and your challenge as well. As my life goes through its turmoil, how can I stay focused in my spiritual discipline and my discipleship? That's the question. So here are my 3 points for today. My first point, I'm calling it Christ at the center. Christ at the center. Folks, when I first began to take my spiritual life seriously, my spiritual journey seriously, I made a very common mistake that people make. I would always put God first on my list. So here are my list of priorities. God came first, my work came second, my family came third, my friends came fourth, and so there was this list of priorities. God was always first. But then I realized that as situations changed, my priorities changed. So if there was a crisis in the family, suddenly family came first and God became second. I struggled with that. It was my spiritual director who told me, he said, "You cannot put God on a priority list. God can never be on a priorities list because according to the situation, priorities changed." He said, "God must be at the center. God is not on a list. God remains at the center, and around God are family and friends and work and everything else." In one sense, conceptually, it's a hard notion to grapple with. So let me explain how I handle my spiritual life during my travel and all the rest of it. Normally, I spend about half an hour to 45 minutes in prayer in the morning. It's something that if I don't do, it's like I am not breathing, right? I find it very difficult to do that during my vacation. So what I do is I break my prayer time throughout the whole day. I spread it out. So I don't have half an hour or 45 minutes of intense time in the morning because of my jet lag and everything else. But I have short, intense periods of prayer throughout the day. 5, 6, 7 times. I take sometimes just 5 minutes and spend intense time on prayer. Quality time with God in prayer. When I cannot sleep for jet lag at night, I pray the rosary. I pray for the needs of the world. I pray for people all over the world. Somehow, I had to come up with a way to make sure that no matter how priorities changed, Christ remained at the center. This keeps my life from being scattered. God remains at the center of my life, my family, my friends, everything else. So it's a good question for you all too, as I reflect on this as well. How can I bring Christ to the center? Secondly, from Jesus I learned today to also keep the mission that each one of us has decided, and to keep that at the center. Remember last 2 weeks I've been talking about this mission statement, mission and your belief statements. How can we keep that at the center? I have thought immensely about the way Jesus' changing fortune throughout the gospel affects his life. In the beginning, his fame spreads, then opposition begins to build, then some called him insane, and finally, for blasphemy and insurrection, he is crucified as a criminal. What a life. What a life. In today's gospel, we become familiar with the fame of Jesus. People are beginning to search for him. But Jesus, instead of getting caught up with sensationalism, keeps his eyes focused on the task ahead and moves on. When Peter says, Lord, people are looking for you, he doesn't give in to the sensationalism, the popularity, the temptation to be king. No, he moves on. I must go to the other towns and villages. He keeps his mission in focus, and no matter what happens in life, he moves on. That's what we learn from today's first reading of Job 2. Job is disturbed. Job is in pain. Job is struggling. He must keep his eyes focused on God. So I'll tell you, in my own life, one of my greatest struggles is the last day when I return to come back home to Dayton, come back here to Dayton. I can't tell you the pain of leaving your elderly parents back at home and returning. And the worst thing is to see my father crying. I've never seen my father cry. He bawls now. He's 82 years old. This was a strong man who I thought, you know, could never ever shed a tear. He bawls when I leave. It is hard. But then you keep your eyes focused on the mission. God has put me at Immaculate Conception in Dayton for a purpose. You keep your eyes on the mission. You keep God at the center, and you keep your eyes focused on the mission. The third point that I want to talk about is the more God comes to the center and the more you keep your eyes focused on the mission, ironically, something else begins to happen. You have to get out of the center. You cannot have two people at the center, you and God. That can't happen. The more and more we focus on God being at the center, the more and more we focus on the mission, we must decrease, as John the Baptist would say. Paul, in today's second reading, expresses exactly that. He says, I have become all things to all people. He's no more. I have become all things to all people for the sake of the gospel. I think the only institution where this is successful, I think, in our world today is the military. Somehow the military is able to indoctrinate people where the self becomes nothing or the country and service becomes everything. I wish we could do that with God. God at the center, mission ahead of us, and we become a sacrifice for the sake of God, who is at the center, and the mission. That's what Jesus is able to accomplish. You see that on the cross. God at the center, the mission in focus, he dies. Friends, as the bread and wine is brought forward, and as we lay the bread and wine on the altar, it'd be great to lay our lives at this altar. Let's ask Christ and invite Christ to come into the very center of our lives. Let's ask Christ to give us love for the mission that he himself entrusts to us. And let us pray that in self-sacrifice, in self-surrender, in counting ourselves as all things to all people, that the kingdom of God may become reality in our midst. The people of God said,